Alright. Where you left off last time, the party, Avalon's finest, had journeyed down into the bones, seeking their friend Solas, and also hoping to help Ari and the rest of the brothers from Highwatch Abbey by discovering the source of the undead found in the bones. There was always a necromantic aura surrounding the place. It is a place filled with magic, and old and powerful at that. But this was something different. In having gone most recently to the bones as a place of refuge, they had come across undead and dispatched them quickly, but realizing that there were undead here, and one of the sons of Tiamat, Makat himself, the Plague Lord, happens to be a Lord of the Undead. This could not be allowed to become a breeding facility for a dragon army. And so, Avalon's Finest, showing up when they did, was asked to go to the bones and check on their friend, but also find out if there is such an army inside the bones, or if there's reason to fear one, and potentially deal with it, if you can. Avalon's Finest, setting out with Ari in company, made their way then to the bones, and after coming to the first base camp, just inside the entrance to the bones, they located some of the brothers there, these agents of the Shadow of Light, and were told that, yes, the unicorn was with them, but she had wandered off down towards where the forward camp, the second group, had gone to, and gone down a passageway, kind of on her own. And they trusted that she would be okay, but the party set off after her. The party, leaving the base camp behind them, began downward on, at some points, a fairly steep descent down a reasonably wide cavern and high. It was by no means a small cave that you were in, but making your way down past stalagmites and stalactites, you continued down a relatively straight passage, only a few places here and there were outcroppings of rock or sediment forced you to have to work your way around it or through it. It was in one of these places where, as you continued your way down, you came across Solas, and she was engrossed in some ancient cave art. How old it exactly was unclear, but it seemed to be very old. And with little that could be found out about it, the party moved on, continuing down the passageway, which had been lit by torches by the forward scout party to make sure that their way back would be secure and findable. The party continued their way down, and finally coming to the end of their long descent, they passed out into a space that at first might have seemed like stepping out into an open night on the surface, except that there were no stars. There was just one massive chasm, because it came out first into a smaller room that did have a passing subterranean river that went through there. And the party, after taking some time, did cross the ancient bridge that had been built over this subterranean river. The whole place looked like it had been wet before, but passing over that bridge, making their way around it, and discovering there was ancient writing on it that seemed similar in some ways to the ancient Bashani writing that Min was aware of. The party then passed out the other side of this room and into that vast chamber that they had seen before. Passing into that room, they could see where the lights finally came to an end. Only a few hundred feet into the room, There was a bright space of light that could be seen, as the forward camp had set up their defenses and cast their spells to make sure that they had light to work with and to ward off that which was in the dark. When the party approached and found their location, they realized that there was some kind of an issue with communication down here, as the party was unable to communicate with the first base camp. But then the other problem became apparent. They were not alone in the dark. And that's when Solas and then Min were able to spot first the gathering of spiders that had been drawn potentially by the light, by the sound of living things in this dark place. And they rushed in to attack. After a brief combat, the party was successful, and the Shadow of Light were successful in killing the spiders. And silence once again fell around you. And this is where we ended.
As Min drifts back down to the ground in her ethereal, ghostly, gaseous form, you watch as she slowly begins to solidify, almost as if the air itself is crystallizing. Before she turns to everyone else and says, "Is everyone else okay?"
You see kind of a goo-covered silhouette of a halfling get up on his feet next to the corpse of the large spider, and then Randy removes his ring, kind of tries to brush some of the goo off, says, "Been worse.
My health is a little lower than I'd like, but it was a good scrap."
"Indeed. Did anyone get bitten by the spiders?"
"Oh, yeah, once or twice. But one of those brothers took care of the weakness I felt after the bite."
Min will then turn to Cabal and say, "Cabal, are you alright?"
And Cabal seems very shaken up by it all. But she turns to you and catches your eye, and you see that same fierceness of will, that determination, is still in her. Even though she was essentially unable to do anything during the fight. But she stands up a little straighter and says, "I am fine."
Min looks to Cabal, and you know what? She'll make a sense motive check. +17 on sense motive.
All right. What are you trying to decipher? I mean,
is she telling the truth? Is she really fine? Was she actually bitten by a spider? Is she still feeling the effects of the poison? Should she be healed?
Also, is she fine emotionally?
Those may be two different answers.
Yeah.
She was attacked by the spiders. But it looks like wherever there's a place where you can tell she was bitten. So she lost a little bit of blood. But it doesn't look infected. It doesn't look like the poison was able to hold.
Excellent. Would you, and she'll continue to look to Cabal, would you mind showing Marcus the way to the healers? And she'll lean closer to Cabal almost as if she's speaking conspiratorially. He needs someone strong to show him the way to ensure that he can take care of himself. Would you do that for him?
And she nods and doesn't say anything, just nods. But there's a look of recognition, and it seems like having something to do, a purpose, is really helpful to her right now. So she goes over to Barkus and says, "Come, I'll help you find healing."
Randy's going to search for Ari.
Follow.
Okay, and she will lead Barkus over to some of the healers that are down there. And Ari is still with you as well.
Okay. Having, you know, realized that these spiders kind of came out of the dark, and he was not able to detect them, unlike some of his compatriots. Randy kind of has a question for Ari. He turns around. Ari, kind of a weird request, I suppose. Do you, considering that you guys traverse the tunnels and everything, do you know of anything that would help somebody who doesn't naturally have dark vision, like, see in the dark? Like some glasses or something?
Well, sure. I mean, there's plenty of stuff that you can use. We got some goggles that a lot of the agents use. They have to come down here, and in fact, and he kind of looks around real quick, and it's like, there, he's got a pair on right now, and she's got a pair. Of course, some of these guys, they can just cast dark vision on themselves, but it helps to have some glasses. Is that something that you guys need help with?
I know a lot of us already can, like, see in the dark. I just, considering that I'm supposed to do scouting, I guess it would help if I, you know, had access to it without having to depend on somebody casting dark vision on me.
Right. Tell you what, I can ask back at the base camp. That's where they'd have any extra supplies. I don't think these guys are gonna have much extra down here. But I can help you out. Just I've only got one pair, but if you want them, you can have them.
I mean, I'll give them back. It's just while we're down here, I feel like if we're going to be doing exploring and everything like that, I've gotten into a lot of scraps where being able to see in the dark would definitely be helpful.
Sure. Well, and he reaches into his bag and he pulls out a pair of those goggles.
Yes.
Now you owe me, which means no matter what happens, you got to come back. Because these are mine. You're just borrowing them.
I'm definitely gonna give them back. And I'll make sure to hand them right to you.
Alright. I'll hold you to it. Hey, Randy. You guys be careful. I'm gonna have to see to these guys. If you guys wanna wait, then we can try to move out. But, I mean, without goggles, I'm gonna be a bit useless in the dark anyway. It's probably the way you've been feeling most of the time, right?
Very much so.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll help you more than they'd help me, but I can try to get in another pair, but that means I gotta go back up to the base camp.
Will we catch up with you, or?
Well, I can try. I mean, if you wanna just hang out around here, then I'll be back down. It only took us a couple hours to get down, so, you know, it's just gonna be maybe half a day or something like that. If you guys want to wait around, then I'll be back. I might even be able to get some more pair of goggles. Don't know how many I can get, though.
Let me ask my friends real quick. Who's all around me right now? In our group.
I mean, Min would just be a little ways away.
Luca's nearby as well, still trying to sort a couple things herself, but she's there.
Randy would present the situation to them, and give them the choice of either continuing forward or maybe sticking around here while Ari went back up the base camp.
Weren't we on a bit of a time crunch? The giant and the orcish army were going to be here in less than a week.
That's a good point. So where are we going next? Are we like delving deeper into the tunnels, or what's our play?
As far as I understand, we were sent here to find the source of the undead incursion, and we haven't found it yet. So more than likely, deeper and darker.
Ari, you're not going back up to the base camp alone, are you?
Is there a group of people going up there at some point?
I mean, I'll have to check and see down here and see if they're planning to take a group up. If they couldn't get contact with that little stunt over to the entrance, then they're going to have to send somebody up to leg it up there. So I'd be going up with them. You don't have to worry about that.
I'm just worried about you, Ari. I mean...
Randy, you shouldn't worry about me so much. That's what gets you in trouble.
You're not wrong. Okay, so... I guess I'll stick with my friends and... You head up to the base camp. Just please be careful. I don't know what I would do if something happened to you.
Yeah, well, that goes double for you. I mean, you came all this way. I can't have you dying down here, right? Besides, like I said, you owe me.
Exactly. I gotta give you back the goggles.
I'll be all right. And I'll catch up to you. See if I can bring down some more support for these guys. Because if there's more spiders like that, these guys are going to need some more help.
Definitely. Okay.
Hey, before I go, Randy. Here, let me give you something. And he kind of reaches back to his pack and he pulls out a pin, almost like a brooch or something like that. And he reaches out and he puts it in your hand. And it is actually a graduating pin, or excuse me, not a graduating pin, but it is a student's pin from the academy.
Ari, this is super important to you. Why?
Because it's something I can scry on. All right? Just keep it with you.
How does it work?
Well, if there's something that I know really well, and I can pretty much spy on you when you're using the bathroom anywhere on this plane.
Oh, that's vaguely disconcerting, but also kind of comforting.
It's mostly so I can find you in this place. If communication and telepathy is not working here, we may need other means of finding you.
Fair enough. Randy will pin the brooch on his cloak.
All right, and after Ari is satisfied, he says goodbye to all of you before going over to speak with the dwarf who is kind of the captain of this base camp and make some arrangements before you see him headed off with a couple of the other agents that were down here. The three of them begin making their way back towards the entrance.
Randy will just keep an eye on them until they're out of sight, which is even longer now that he has those goggles.
All right.
And it's the goggles that I mentioned or that I mentioned to you, correct? QS?
That is correct.
All right. All right, let me just add that to my inventory real quick.
As you all are gathering and figuring out what to do next, the dwarf comes over and she looks at all of you, nods to you, a little bit of a grim look on her face, and says, "That was more of a fight than I was hoping we would find down here. But thank you for your assistance. You are all right.
As are you."
Listen, we're just trying to help, honestly.
I apologize. I did not introduce myself before. We have not gotten many outsiders, and, well, the Shadow of Light is not usually open its doors to those that are not of our own. My name is Hannah.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Hannah. Oh, yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say what you said.
Oh, and if your work seems to get a little too hairy, and you manage to find your way a little closer to the Viscerial, perhaps you could wind down, get a hot drink. Then she will reach to her pack and pull out a coaster.
And she takes the coaster. That sounds very nice. I will not lie, but I have never been to Netisgiro. That's the capital of Carthalia, right?
It is indeed.
I am from Iron Seat myself, but that is even further away from here. Still, if you make your way to Ravenspear, you should go and see it. It is a great kingdom.
I will see if we can make the time.
Well, we have a bit of a problem here. We could not communicate even from the entrance to the cavern, so we'll have to go up some ways before we'll be able to. That is what I said the other two, and Ari. They've gone to go and make contact with the base camp. However, he did mention that you were here to locate the source of the undead.
That is correct.
Well, I will tell you that this whole place is filled with undead. It is in the very walls. It is the air that is breathed here. This place, it is called the Bones of Boulder, and I think it is not a bad name for it. Well, there is not much that is known of him, but he was supposedly a god of undeath and curses and things like that. But there are undead here, and we have not seen them before. So, whether they are down here, I do not know. But they were seen upstairs, and they seem to come from this direction. This room, we know very little about, except that it seems to expand out to a large degree. The best we can tell of this room is it is about 300 feet wide, and it is pitch black. That is where we found the walls begin to turn and move out. She kind of directs out in one direction, out into the darkness. And we have no idea how far that goes. We know that a couple hundred feet or so in that direction, the ground starts to rise, but there is not much else that we know.
So we're going on an exploration mission?
If you're going out there, but be careful. These spiders came from somewhere, so if they were here, you'll probably find more. And if the undead came from here, you will also find them.
Understood. Though I do have a question. What has prevented you from casting light spells on rocks and using slings to throw them as far as you can across the room? Seeing where they stop, see if they hit a wall.
That has been a point of disagreement. But I don't think that it is wise to alert everything in the space of our presence.
And looks around. I'm assuming there are torches here?
There are torches, but the torches run back from behind the base camp. They don't extend in front. And they are a rather low light in this darkness. Says, I understand that there is a lot of light here. We had to secure the space. But if you go far enough, the light becomes harder to see.
Almost like a fog or a haze?
It is in the air. Something is out here, and it clouds our view. It watches us. I felt it once.
Interesting.
You said you felt it once? How did that happen?
It was like a tingling on my neck. It was subconscious. I did not feel a hand or see someone, but it's the feeling that you are being watched. A presence just beyond the light. Observing us. Probing. I was not the only one. Most of us felt it. I don't know what it was, but it seems to have gone. We have not felt it for some time. It was only when we first came down and began to put up our wards. It did not come inside the wards. For that, I am very grateful.
Do you think that presence could be what's stopping the communication?
It could be. But it would take great power to keep all communication out.
So what do you guys think? Should we just head up there now, or should we wait?
Personally, If we had more time, I would like to wait, get a contingency of the Shadow of the Light, and go together as a larger group. With the time that we currently have, we need information, and sooner rather than later. And she turns back to the leader of the group. Would you mind if we made a loud noise if we ran into something that caused us trouble? Light and vision might be blocked, but perhaps sound would not be.
If you run into trouble, I would suggest you do everything you can to be found. And may Arithmedir watch you in this darkness.
Men nods. And may Lueneth guide our path.
Randy crosses himself.
Yep. Job we came to do.
Well, there's nothing for sitting around and staring into the dark. Speaking of staring into the dark, these glasses are awesome. Out of character, is dark vision considered black and white, grayscale?
Yes, it is grayscale.
Okay. So Randy is kind of enthralled with that aspect of it. Everything's like a pencil drawing in these things.
How did you get a pair of those glasses?
Oh, I borrowed them from Ari. Since we're going into the dark, he figured he told me I could use them, but as long as I give them back.
And she looks like she's a little bit disapproving of Ari giving out their equipment, but it was his glasses, so what can she say? She just lets it go. Meanwhile, Solas is going to speak over to Ruka. Let's see. Ruka, you appear to be in thought. Is something troubling you?
Well, it was mentioned that some of the shadows felt a presence as they were coming down. I might have felt the same thing. It was passing, though, so I didn't think much of it at the time.
Did it feel dangerous?
It was hard to tell. It was only a brief moment, and then it was gone.
Ah, that is correct. Solas does not continue to ask questions, but just considers it. What do you do?
We should probably start making our way down. Doruka, I do have some questions I'd like to talk to you about.
Got some questions I want some answers to as well. I don't know that they're to be found at the moment.
I'm assuming you were talking about the three strangers that you brought out of nothing?
don't know that I can say it was me that brought them, but yes.
Would Min be able to make some sort of check and let me know if this is how you'd prefer to have it be done or not steal? To see if she could determine what happened? Arcana, planes, etc. If you'd prefer it to be more mystical, I won't do it, but...
Oh no, there's actually mechanics behind it, so... Well, both could give some information, so which one would you prefer to make?
I'm gonna go with Arcana.
Okay.
What is this in relation to?
Ruka summoning the three things.
Remind me about this summon. When did she do it?
Last session, when one of the spiders was about to probably take her out.
Yes, the Vulpine Warriors.
Yes.
17 on the Arcana check.
So 15 plus spell level, right?
That's what I'm assuming. I don't know what level you cast it at.
So, it's an SLA, which is going to be your current caster level, which is higher than 2.
Alright, then. I am not sure.
But yeah, it did look like there was a summoning circle around her, but beyond that, it's hard to tell what exactly happened.
I'm not sure. I will do more research when I have a chance to, but it was interesting. I don't think that you created them out of nothing. I think that you called them.
It wasn't anything conscious that I did.
As we're traveling down, Barkus would like to... is there a way for me to, like, passively scent the air? Maybe add to any perception checks that might pop up?
Randy will be taking point, I'm assuming, with on the shoulders of Barkus.
Okay, so you guys are on your way. You're moving out and headed in which direction? If you came through the east wall of this cavern... And it's about 300 feet from the north to the south and an unknown distance to the west. Are you just headed into the dark of the west? Or how would you like to explore this room?
First thing is Barkus is, like I said, he's going to sniff and see if he smells anything resembling undead.
Okay, go ahead and give me a perception check.
Min will ask if the rest would prefer if she sends the dancing lights out up ahead.
Well, I know I can't see much, but I don't know what the other people think.
Total 31 for perception.
Okay, you smell a bit of moisture. The smell of stone and earth. You smell the gutted remnants of those spiders. You do not smell undead.
Okay.
There is, I would say that there is a unsettling sort of a odor in the air that is almost like an echo of death.
Interesting. Okay. And if we choose a direct, so we'll assume we're heading west. As we're heading deeper into the dark, does the smell change at all? Does it get more intense? Does it feel like we're getting closer to its source?
No, it's pretty much the same. And since you've entered into this room, you would have felt that stone. In fact, as you were coming down, it would have been in the air, but you might not have really noticed it until you got down into this room. And it just seems to permeate the air that's around you. So as you move forward, the ground is broken with boulders and large rocks and stalagmites that stick up. Some of the stalagmites are as big around as redwoods. Some of them are huge and create these pinnacles that rise up out of the ground that you come upon rather suddenly, as dark vision only goes to 60 feet, and have to make your way around. So there is no true path that goes through here. Go ahead and give me a survival check as you move forward to try to maintain your sense of direction.
16 plus 14, total 30.
Okay. You do pretty good. And as you're looking back and you keep an eye for your direction and moving forward, you're able to stay on path. You do notice as you get a couple hundred feet away, you look back towards the camp, and it seems almost more distant, muted. It's like the light is just not as bright.
It's not permeating how light normally should, even from this distance?
Correct.
Ah. So this is some real shady stuff going on.
Between the weird scent here and the... Yes, props to you. Between the smell and the weird interplay of light, there's some kind of aura here. I mean, I guess it's in keeping with the dead body of a death god. Anybody have any ideas about anything we can do to work around that? Or cut through it, I guess? Religion, people, maybe.
Lots of light?
Do we really want a lot of light?
No.
Basically serving as a beacon to whatever's out there?
I think not. But, more to the point, I guess. Not really sure what exactly we're looking for. Not picking up on any kind of trails or anything out of the ordinary. Just sort of keeping one direction at this point.
Should we... This is... That place that they would hold up in the base camp, it seemed really large. I know it seems kind of ridiculous to backtrack a little bit, but maybe we should further explore that before we go out to the dark without knowing what we're looking for. I don't know, just a thought. I'm with you, Marcus. We're just as lost just going in here. I don't know.
Seems like a better idea than anything else I can think of. And, I guess we'll make our way back to the camp then to investigate what he's talking about.
Just like, it's such a large room, and how QS described it just seems like maybe there's a lot there that hasn't been explored yet, just in that space.
Okay, so as you guys prepare to turn back, you hadn't really noticed it until you're turning back to go. But you had actually been starting to go uphill a little bit. The ground level seemed to be rising. And now, as you look back and you begin to make your way back, you're having to pick your way down over rocks. It's not a huge, insurmountable sort of a thing, but you still notice the ground level was going up. And go ahead and give me another perception check.
All right.
Total 33.
I think that should be fine.
All right, and Barkus, you have dark vision, correct?
Low light vision.
Okay. I got a 32, and I obviously have dark vision as well.
Okay, good. Alright. It is at this point, as you're making your way back, Randy sitting on Barkus's shoulders, as he makes his way carefully down the rocks, the rest of you making your way back, preparing to go back towards the base camp, retrace your steps. Randy, you catch sight of movement off to your now right, which would be to the south. You catch sight of movement just as you see coming up from around several rocks about a half dozen armed warriors. They all bear armor and weapons that you have not seen before. They appear to be not Korthalian, not Katten. The people you would guess, they appear to be, at least in form, they look Korthalian. They look human. But their armor is certainly not Korthalian. And having grown up in the country, you would know that. However, you see about six of them. Four of them have bows that are drawn, and two of them have spears with shields. And the four that have their bows drawn are preparing to fire. So I need everybody to roll initiative.
Oh, snap. Okay.
As a free action, before we roll in, I guess not. Because nobody else knows, right?
I would expect that you let the party know.
Okay.
So that they're not caught flat-footed.
I was just going to say, like, have Randy kind of casually ask Min to put up the psychic link and then let them know silently, but okay.
Oh, well, you catch sight of them as they're coming out ready to fire. So if you want to keep it that quiet, then they're going to get a surprise round on the party.
Okay, I'm not gonna do that. I will, if it's that spur of the moment, Randy will immediately just 3 o'clock now.
I was about to say, if I could insert a little bit of flavor, roll a critical fail on my initiative roll. So I think what happened is somehow Randy got a toe in Barkus's ear or something, and Barkus just yells in the middle of what's happening here, and not to do much of anything except make noise. So that's not great.
I also got a critical fail, so that explains the toe.
Ow!
I'm sorry. I was trying to. 3 o'clock.
You picked now to do that? Oh, dear.
All right, and what was Randy's initiative then?
A 4. But natural 1.
Alright, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, Min, as Randy speaks to you quickly, or as Randy calls out and tells you, for you guys it would be 9 o'clock, it would be to your right, which is to the south. But as he points out in that direction, Min, you look over in your dark vision, you can see the six warriors that have stepped up, and you recognize their armor is the same as the undead that were found upstairs. What would you like to do?
Min is up first. Her head will whip around, and how far away are the archers?
They are all pretty much right at the extent of dark vision, about 60 feet away.
60 feet away. Min will mutter a quick curse under her breath as she holds her hands out, snaps them together, and will say, "By the gates of Kalmara," and will drop her hands to the ground as she puts up a illusory fog cloud between the two of them so the archers can't see them anymore. As she drops down haunting mists.
Okay, very good. Do you want to move?
Yeah, she is actually going to take a few steps away from the archers. Not out of the haunting mists, but closer to the back. Just getting the rest of the party between her and the attackers.
Okay, wonderful. That brings us then to Ruka. It is your turn.
Ruka will cast haste on the entire party. And then also take a couple steps back.
Okay. So, the entire party, you now have haste, double action, plus one to your defense, plus one to attack, plus one to reflex, and plus one attack on a full round action. That brings us then to them. Alright, and the archers are going to go ahead and bring up their bows. The first one is going to... Well, you know what? There's a cloud in the way. So they'd stop. And, They're going to withdraw. As you see, and you watch... This is their initiative. Those of you that are watching, 60 feet away, if you've got dark vision, you can see it. You can see them stop, and then one of the ones with a spear just kind of raises his hand and motions for them to go back. And they drop back away. And they are going to stealth. But they are also dropping out of the 60-foot range.
So there's no way to, like, perception check them or anything like that?
You can roll a perception check. I will tell you that it is nigh impossible because it's technically outside of your light range.
Right.
I mean, I would give you on, like, on a crit, I would give it to you that, you know, you're outside of something.
Can we can still see them through the illusory fog, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Yeah, you guys could.
Okay.
Well, they were in the site. Did anybody identify what they were?
Min did, but I did not say that Min announced it out loud.
If only.
Okay, Philia, it is your turn. Philia, hello?
Yes, I guess I'm gonna attack, I'm gonna cast, Cat's Grace on myself.
Okay.
And I can't see anybody, so I can't shoot anybody.
Okay, then that brings us to Randy. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong... That's an old initiative list. That would bring us to Barkus and then Randy.
Right. I think Barkus has a higher dex mod, or just rolled better. Better
initiative. Yeah, he's got a 6 for initiative on top of the critical one. Okay, well, with Randy... Still on his shoulders, I guess.
Or can is it acceptable that isn't part of the critical fail, Randy, like, fell off?
No, you don't have to have lost that.
Okay, then, let's see. What exactly can Barkus see? I know that the mist is not affecting him. What does he see ahead of him?
Yeah, are all the soldiers now stealthed?
They did all stealth. All six of them stealthed as their action. So
are they hidden behind something? Or
yeah, they. Yeah,
I guess
they
I'm asking more specifically.
Well, they were 60 feet away in the darkness. So low light vision does not give you the ability to see them. Okay. However, yes, essentially they had been hiding among the rocks and large boulders and were just coming out to attack when the fog cloud was put up and their response was to duck back into hiding.
Gotcha. Okay, did Barkus catch that there were six of them? He was on the leading edge of the seeing thing, so was Randy. But, yeah. Does he know how many there were? I think so, right?
Barkus would know if Randy told him.
Right. Okay.
So if you want to ask, you can, and I would allow Randy to respond.
Okay. You've got the goggles on there. Tell me what we're working with here.
Randy holds up six fingers.
All right.
How many archers were there?
There were four archers and two spears.
All right, so Randy holds up four, makes a bow and arrow, bow and arrow gesture, and a two and makes a spear gesture.
All right. Then, since we're hasted, I think Bark is going to, as stealthily as he can, try to make his way forward, slowly but carefully. He's got, he'll take out both of his battle axes and have them at the ready, and walk forward, not his full distance, because that's, with haste, a long, long way. He's going... I kind of wish I had a map of my head here. Yeah, I mean, I guess he's going to bluff, kind of veer off to the to the side. He's going to try to find a good rock to situate himself behind as well. That is maybe a good 30 feet forward, but not right on top of them. We can assume these things are dead. I don't mind laying into them, but six against one and an invisible half of one aren't the best odds.
I'll pretend not to be offended by that.
You can do more than your share, but we'd have to get you in there first.
Fair enough.
So yeah, Barkus is going to try to find a place to get closer, but halfway between the two of them, but take shelter behind like a rock if there's one in between.
Okay, so you move up in that direction, and yes, there's plenty of rocks that you can take shelter behind.
Cool.
Did you want to roll any stealth with that, or are you just kind of ducking down behind it?
He wants to get over there with getting shot.
Would Randy be able to put on his ring? Or would I have to wait till my turn to do that?
You would have to wait till your turn to put on your ring.
Yeah.
Total 27 for stealth.
Okay, excellent. That brings us to Randy.
Randy's gonna roll stealth as well, and also once the stealth has been determined, he's going to take point ahead of Barkus, since he'll be essentially invisible, and see if he can kind of find an enemy to attack. So I'm gonna go ahead and
Before you go, is there anything you can put on or do? I can watch. I can follow, without necessarily giving away your position. Would it make sense for Barkus to keep an eye on maybe like footprints or something like that? He can tell where Randy's going. I know he's invisible, and that is kind of the purpose.
Yeah, is there a way to do that to where like Barkus can tell where Randy is, even though he's invisible?
Maybe a great big sniff. He can follow the scent.
Like some sort of way.
You could try to track Randy by scent. You could do that.
Okay, then.
Even with my stealth roll and stuff, because it's going to be really high. But is there a way that I can like?
I don't know that being stealthy will hide your smelly feet.
Wearing boots. Fair enough. That's perfect. That'll work.
So are the boots actual like magical items? Are they doing something for you? Or
yes.
Boots?
Yes, they are. They are.
I was going to say, take off the boots. Get easier.
Daredevil boots. I want those.
Okay.
That way I can.
Gotcha.
Get under people's legs and stab.
No worries. Okay, go for it.
All right. So, big old stealth roll. Here it comes. Also, yes, I put on the ring. Is that a move action to put on the ring or a quick action? I can't remember. I believe it's...
standard to activate magical items.
Yeah, it's a standard to activate it. I would let you put it on and activate it as a standard action.
Okay, very cool. So then I would still have a move action as well, right?
Correct.
All right. So here we go. That is, let me just double check. Yep, that's a 60 to stealth. And I'm going to move ahead of Barkus. Haste gives me an extra 10 feet, correct?
30 if I remember correctly.
Right.
Yeah, doubles your move.
Oh, it doubles my move.
Doubles or 30, whichever is lower, I believe.
Okay, so 30 feet. Randy will move an extra 30 feet ahead. That's pretty much what I wanted to do. And I don't think I can do a perception check. Can I? After having done all that?
Yeah, I'll let you do one as you're moving forward. Sure.
Okay. Alright. It's 31 for perception.
Okay, you do catch sight of movement behind a couple of the larger rocks. And one of them, you see one of the armored soldiers kind of peek out a little bit. He doesn't seem to have noticed you guys.
Great.
You would notice that they moved back, and then also towards the east. Probably about 20 feet or so. So it looks like they fell back and then also moved forward in case you guys kept moving towards the camp.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, all right, that's Randy's move. He's not going to give away his position yet.
Okay, then that brings us back to Min.
All right. Min, realizing that the rest of her companions are having trouble seeing the individuals, will whisper the rest of her group, while still staying in the fog cloud, "Do we wish to light up that area? It should help with the archers."
I know I can't do much without any light.
Min nods and then will hold out her hand. And you will watch as four greenish blue flickering tongues of flame appear in the air about 10 feet off the ground. And they're each about 40 feet away from one another, in a square shape. So she is casting dancing lights. They light up an area with a radius of 20 feet. Because they're 40 feet away from one another, their lights essentially doesn't quite overlap.
All right, and what color was the light?
Blue-green. And that ends Vin's turn. She is going to stay in the fog cloud so she does not get filled with arrows.
Okay, that brings us to Ruka then.
Ruka is just going to stand by with Min, and presumably Cabal has stayed back as well until she hears more over the telepathic link of what's going on.
Okay, so are you holding an action?
I don't have a specific one in mind, so mechanically speaking, no.
Defend?
Yeah, we can go with that. Total defense.
Okay, sounds good. Alright, that brings us to them and Randy and Barkus. Barkus, you had also moved up, but you don't have dark vision, so unfortunately you can't. But Randy, you can see as the group of six, after staying where they were, reemerges, and you see them move further back towards the east. And then they will re-stealth. They continue moving about 30 feet further.
Towards the east means towards the camp, correct?
Yeah, towards the camp.
The direction that we came from?
Okay. Yes.
Cool. As long as they're not like trying to lead us in somewhere.
No, they're moving back towards the camp. How much of an area did the dancing lights reveal?
It is a square with 40-foot sides, and then it would spread out. So each light has a diameter of 40 feet, so total of 80 feet by 80 feet.
Gotcha. Okay, so yeah, they would be in the light.
No. Radius 20 feet, diameter 40 feet, so 40 and 40. Yeah, 80. Sorry. My math was
okay. Right. Okay, well then, they would be in the light, which changes things. They will break cover, and they're going to shoot at Barkus, because he's the only one they can see. So.
Hmm. Is he benefiting from cover?
Yes.
Stealth over behind a rock?
Yes, you are behind a rock, so I'm going to give you half cover, which essentially means any hit is 50% chance that it's not a hit.
Oh, okay.
So. However, I'll go ahead and make these attack rolls here. Alright. Does a 19 hit?
Nope.
Does a 25 hit?
Let me check. You said that haste adds an additional...
Plus one. Yes, it adds one.
Which, what kind of... It stacks regardless, right? Because it's magic?
Yeah, it stacks. With all the others.
Okay, then 25 matches.
Okay, so that would be a hit, and there's one other hit, which was a 26 then. So two of the arrows on the first volley strike. The first one deals 5 points of damage, and another 5 points of necrotic damage. So, negative energy damage. I also need you to make a fortitude save.
This again. Okay. Total 21.
Okay. you feel the ice cold. It's almost like you get hit with the arrow, but where the arrow lodges into you is almost immediately numbed by this pulse of cold, black energy. However, it seems to pass, and then you feel the pain of the arrow. The second one hits you. The arrow only does 1 point of damage, so it actually just kind of glances off of you. But you take another 3 points of necrotic damage from that, and I need you to make another fortitude save. Okay, once again, you are good. Alright, and then they're going to shoot again as they get another shot. Alright, sorry, Barkus is the only one who's not invisible or covered by a cloud, so...
Well, that's fair.
And so two of them outright miss with their shots. The other two got natural 20s.
Ah!
So...
And I don't understand how the cover thing works. You said it was a 50% chance of, like, not working at all?
Yes. I forgot to roll that. So...
Hey!
So... let's just do that real quick. Give me a higher low.
there's two of them, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'll say one high and low.
All right, so the first one you stop. The second one, however, you are not able to stop. So the first one, the first natural 20 does skip off of a rock and does not hit you. However, the second one does hit you. So, all right, and that one deals 5 points of damage and 1 point of necrotic, and I need you to make another fortitude save. Necrotic, negative, whatever.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, that was a natural 2. Plus 6 is 8. So that's not great.
An 8 for your fortitude save?
Yep.
Okay. Good to know. Alright, you are now considered confused.
Oh, no. Can I hurt myself with my confusion?
Yes, potentially you can. This will only last 2 rounds.
Okay.
All right.
Keys are flopped around my head.
All right. It's essentially as the necrotic negative energy pulses into you, and suddenly your mind is racked with these whispering voices from beyond that are speaking to you, pulling at your psyche, and causing you potentially to lash out unexpectedly. All right, that would be them. Then the two with the spears are going to remain where they are, actually. So they take up kind of defensive positions around close to the archers, just in case anyone rushes the archers. That brings us then to Philia. Philia, you can see the undead warriors as they have broken free, and they have just pelted Barkus with shots.
What's the range?
They're about 70 feet away from you guys. So they're within the 80 feet.
Alright, hold on. I just X'd out of my character sheet. Alright, I'm gonna fire at the archers.
Okay, go ahead. You set your sights on one of them, pull back your arrow, and fire.
Does a 17 hit?
17 does not hit. I'm sorry.
How about 31?
31 is much better with your first shot. Pinging off of a rock and getting lost in the rocks. The second one, you take more careful aim and drive it true. Roll damage.
Alright, 9 points of damage and 4 points of fire damage.
Alright. Alright, awesome.
Alright, two more shots.
Yes, so that arrow strikes and you see the archer kind of stagger slightly, and then the burst of fire breaks out on the armor and kind of burning for a moment, dealing even more damage to the archer. Twenty-three hits.
All right, 8 points of damage and 2 points of fire damage.
All right. Awesome.
And the other one I don't think hits. It's a... I guess it's a 20.
A 20 just misses. Although, actually, is that including the plus one from haste?
Yeah.
Okay, then it does miss. Alright, so sinking a couple of arrows. Did you also get your extra attack from haste? Did you include that?
Yeah.
Okay, so driving two arrows true, two of them missing, the first and last, but the other two hitting, and seeming to deal some good damage to this bowman. Alright, next. Barkus, it is your turn.
Okay, so I am within 50 feet of them, right?
You are... Yeah,
matter of fact, they're even closer now, aren't they?
They're about 20 feet away from you, yeah.
Okay. And we don't have a map here. Are they within a cone shape from Marcus?
Yeah, as long as you could... I mean, you could move up and then use your cone attack. Yeah, you could catch them all in a cone, for sure.
Okay. And is Randy within a cone as well?
Randy did move out in front of you. I would say that if you wanted to move a little bit to the side, just kind of run over to the side, maybe about 10 feet or so, then you could make sure he was not in the cone.
Okay. Then, and doing that, I still get... Actually, I guess I'll just tell you what I'm trying to do. Barkus hasn't ever used his breath weapon before, but would using it kind of waste benefit of a haste
If you move, you can only attack once anyway. And okay. You're going to have to move up to them to attack unless you're using a bow. Gotcha. So you're only going to get one attack because you've got to move up.
Okay. Then, yeah, he's just going to go ahead and do the move to within striking distance and not hitting Randy. And then he will, letting his lips curl back from his fangs, he'll tap into his dragon blood and breathe out a cone of blistering cold dragon breath.
Okay. And this is a cold attack, so ice and snow and frozen air blows out in front of you. And go ahead, and what is the reflex save on that?
I have forgotten. Hold on. I gotta pull it up again. I had the idea at the last second. Now I gotta find what I'm gonna do. It looks like the reflex save is 10 plus. I don't have an actual character sheet in front of me. I've been using my spreadsheet. It's 10 plus my con modifier plus half of something. Hold on. Half my hit die. So, yes, this is the first time he's ever used his. His breath weapon. So half of 9 is down is rounded down to 4, right?
Yes.
For purposes of this.
Okay. Yes.
So 4 plus 10 is 14 plus my con mod is 2. So we're looking at a total of 16 is the reflex.
Okay, two of them pass it. One of the spearmen and one of the archers pass the reflex save as they ducked to either side of the blast and took shelter behind some larger rocks. The others were caught in it fully. And I was looking at undead traits, and it does not list immune to cold damage on there. So, go for it.
Now I need to track down how many die he's rolling on this one. D6s. How many D6s? One D6 per caster level, and for Dragon Disciple, that means. Sorry, it was, it seemed like a good idea. I should have had it pulled up earlier.
All right, Randy, you will be next. So think about what you'd like to do.
Yep.
Looks like a total of 17 points of cold damage.
Okay.
Halved for those that made their reflex save.
All right. Excellent. As you blast them with the Arctic cold, some of them, the ice forming over their undead skin and their armor, seeming to almost freeze them in place where they kind of break themselves free of it. But you can tell that they've been burned underneath because of the cold, and they've taken damage from it. The other two, significantly less damage, but still a good shot all in all. Randy, it is your turn.
Okay, so we have... All right, so Bargus has attacked how many just now?
He hit the whole group.
Okay, very cool. Which one of the... Are one of the archers close to me?
Yes, you could get up to them. You're not close enough to attack yet. You'll have to use a move action to move.
Okay.
But you could get up there. And you are invisible currently.
You're right. Okay, so they are how far away then?
From you, they're about 10 feet away.
Oh, perfect. All right, so I'm going to do it. All right, great. So I am going to run up to one of the archers, and I'm going to use my hidden blade to stab them.
Okay. And you have to pass between the two that have spears.
Okay, so...
But as you pass between them, there's the group of four archers. And they're standing in a sort of a combat line. So you go up to the first one and stab.
Alrighty. So let's go ahead and get some rolls going. And it's just going to be a standard... Yeah, I'm not using True Strike for this one, obviously. So standard attack. It's a 29 to hit.
Okay, 29 hits.
Right. Is that with sneak attack damage?
Yes, it is.
Alright, so we got that. So, go ahead and roll this.
Okay.
Twenty-seven points of damage.
All right, 27 points. So you drive the hidden blade in between the armor on that's kind of the shin guard and where it meets with the rest of his leg armor, and you drive it in, and you hear the pop as you sever what hopefully is a tendon or two. Very nice. Your invisibility breaks as right. You attack. All right, that brings us back to Min.
Min, did the one that Randy just attacked drop?
He did not drop.
Okay. Min, watching the attack from afar, will close her eyes, take her left hand, and grasp it around her holy symbol. And then take a few slow breaths as she waits 10 heartbeats, snaps her right hand over to the side, and summons Fate Speaker, her shard blade. She takes a single step forward, turns in a full 360 degrees before launching her blade toward the same creature that Randy just attacked, for a total of 22 to hit.
Okay, a 20 does not hit.
22.
22 does hit.
Ah, excellent. 7 points of force damage.
Okay. Excellent.
And she snaps her hand back to her side as Fate Speaker is resummoned by her side and begins to orbit around her right hand. And that ends her turn.
All right, Ruka, it is your turn.
Ruka, watching the battle in front of her, seeing Barkus do something new for the first time and recognizing what it is, mutters a name low almost under her breath. Ahmed. As her face turns a little more stony. But she is just going to draw her scythe and remain where she is in a defensive position, knowing there's not a whole lot she can do to help at the moment.
Okay, that brings us back to them. I will say, Ruka, do a religion check real quick. Okay, you sense that presence again. You feel it.
Just that it's there, or anything more this time?
It wasn't there a moment ago, but it seems to be... It's still maybe a little bit faint, like it is coming. But so far, you recognize the feel of it. It is the same presence. It's not... You don't get the sense that it is fully here yet.
But it feels like it's coming.
Correct.
Telepathy up?
I don't... Not anymore.
Yeah, I don't believe you guys have put it up.
And did message go up at any point?
Think so either. Actually, I think we did put it up in the camp. I'm trying to remember. I remember message was put up. I don't remember which game that was.
Let's see here. Ruka does have message, so she's going to use her standard action to cast message on the group, and she will whisper into it. That presence they were talking about at the camp, it feels like it's coming here now.
Do we wish to get out of the way?
I don't even know what it is.
Then this might save us some time.
Okay, that brings us to them. They see this pint-sized warrior who has just popped up in front of them and attempted to hamstring one of the archers from the front of the knee. And, the archers are not going to take too kindly to that. So the one of them is going to draw a short sword. And he is going to attempt to slash at Randy. And that is a 19 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. He does. 11 points of damage.
All right.
And then the other archers are going to... two of them are going to shoot at Barkus. Alright, that is a 24 and a 29.
The 29 hits.
Alright. And that is 5 points of regular damage and 1 point of negative energy. And
25
then,
fortitude.
Alright, so that's good. I didn't make you do the confusion roll last round. I forgot about that. But you have one more round of confusion, so we'll see what if that comes into play or not. The other two, however, are going to shoot at Randy. Which means, Randy, you do get an attack of opportunity on one of them.
Nice. I will take that opportunity.
I guess the other one, technically. There's only four archers.
Right. Let me go ahead and do that, then. That's a natural 20 with my hitting blade.
Nice.
Oh, yes. All right, let me go ahead and roll my damage. Okay, so that's 20 points of damage.
Okay, awesome. So you stab into this one, and he is not looking good at all as you push your blade in, and he seems to stagger under the blow. However, he does snap his shot off, and does an 18 hit you?
It does.
All right, you take 3 points of regular damage and 4 points of negative, so a total of 7 points of damage, and I need a fortitude save.
All right. Uh, 16.
All right. You are confused for 3 rounds.
All right.
All right, as the arrow hits you and lodges in, it's not a horrible shot. It doesn't kill you. However, you feel that flash of cold negative energy, and you are racked with those same voices in your brain, talking all at one time and telling you to do horrible and unspeakable things. It just is incredibly confusing. At this point, however, let me do a really quick check here. Let's go with a high or low. Philia, high or low?
Hello?
All right. You notice the two of spears seem to look around a moment. But they focus in, and one of them is going to turn his spear on Randy. Randy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I
believe that hits. And that is a total of 8 points of damage. Oof. And the second one is going to attempt to trip Randy with his spear. So his total is 24 against your CMD.
My CMD? Yeah, correct. That gets me.
All right, so the one of them stabs you, and even as he's yanking the spear out and you're pulled off balance slightly, the other one thrusts his spear forward and low and catches you just behind the knees and sweeps your legs out from underneath you as you fall to the ground prone.
Great.
All right, that is them. And then there is a there's a brief moment where the one who just knocked you to the ground calls to the others and says something. Do you have comprehend languages or anything like that is up currently?
Not me.
Ruka doesn't, but she speaks a bucket load of languages.
Alright, so, Randy, what languages do you speak?
Common, Halfling, Elven, Orc, and Goblin.
Alright, Yeah, you don't recognize the language. It doesn't seem over... It's not harsh. It's not like a orcish tongue or ogre or something like that. It's almost like listening to... it's almost like listening to German or a Slavic tongue or something like that that you don't understand. It's just maybe a bit of a harsher grating sound, but it's not monstrous at all.
It's dwarven.
It's not dwarven. You've dealt with some dwarves. It's old though. It doesn't sound like any language that you know.
Okay.
So, that brings us into Philia. Philia, Randy has just been knocked down and stabbed. And he's pretty much surrounded by undead.
Alright, I'm gonna shoot the ones that just stabbed him.
Okay, the one with the spear that just stabbed him. Go for it.
Thirty-1 and 17 to hit.
Okay, the 31 hits, the 17 does not. Roll damage. And remember, you are hasted, so you should get an extra attack at full BAB.
Okay, 21 points of damage.
Awesome. And some of that is fire damage, I believe. So.
Yes, do I need to differentiate it?
No, you don't. That's fine. But very good hit. As this one who had previously not been hit is suddenly kind of knocked sideways a little bit and turns back towards this fog cloud that they can't see inside.
Okay, two more arrows. Thirty for the first one, and I think the second one doesn't hit. It's lower than that other one that didn't hit.
Okay, so the 30 does hit for sure. Roll damage.
15 points of damage.
Okay, 15 points. He is not looking good at all as you sink a couple of well-placed arrows into him. Very good job. Alright, Barkus, it is your turn. Did Barkus already have to leave us?
I think he did.
Alright, then Randy, go ahead and we will throw Barkus back in as soon as he's back.
Alrighty. I'm going to use my action to put on my, or reactivate my Ring of Invisibility and go stealth.
Okay, activating a magical device does invoke an attack of opportunity.
Hold on just one second.
Okay, I'm just trying to see if my belt of tumbling doesn't. Okay. In that case, let's see. How many attacks of opportunity would it trigger?
Currently, there are three people that are armed with melee that would be able to attack you.
What about what would happen? I have some smoke pellets here. What would happen if I used one of them?
I believe you would have to retrieve it from your bag.
Right.
Which would also invoke an attack of opportunity.
And I'm prone right now, so getting up would invoke an attack of opportunity. Let's see. Can I... When you're prone, can you crawl?
You can, yes. But it also provokes an attack of opportunity.
Okay, here's my thought, though. If I crawled into one of their spaces, I would be able to use my belt of tumbling to be able to roll an acrobatics check to get out to avoid the attack of opportunity. Would that be possible?
So you want to crawl under the archer's feet?
Yes.
And use an acrobatics roll to avoid the attacks of opportunity?
Yes.
I would allow it. You will still be prone at the end of it.
Would I be able to attack while prone?
Yeah, you can attack while prone.
Okay. Great. So that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, give me your acrobatics roll.
37.
Okay. Yes, you are able to throw yourself and kind of side roll underneath the archer's feet and get a little bit of cover that way from the guys with the spears, and you're currently under him. You have not stood up, so no attack of opportunity.
Very cool. I'll go ahead and just give his ankles another stab with my hidden blade.
Okay, go for it.
Awesome. Alright.
And Barkus, you'll be up next.
Right on.
That's a natural one.
All right, so you roll under and you go to stab him, and there is that sudden jolting chink as you misjudged your distance and you just stab into a rock.
Ugh.
All right, Barkus, you're up.
Yes.
Randy is
How
on the ground.
Away?
You are only about, because you moved over and changed your angle, you're about 15 feet away from them.
Sweet. So
you do know that you just watched Randy kind of dodge roll sideways. He's still prone on the ground. He just kind of belly crawled slash rolled underneath one of the archer's feet. And so he is right in there with
them. I have a flavorful question. So knowing that Randy's down there, can Barkus do a trademark, like, charging attack into... Maybe not a formal pounce, but like leave the ground and try to take guy like a high, like hit him high while Randy tries to hit him low. I want to take this guy off his feet by attacking him high. Opposite of what you would want to do tackling a dude in football.
Okay. Yeah. Is your goal to knock him over?
Flying tackle. Yeah. I want to take him down with a strike from like midair. That's the idea.
All right. So this is not a weapons attack. This is a combat maneuver. Right on. Basically, to knock him prone. That's your goal, is to knock him down. So go ahead and you charge, which I believe will give you a plus two on that.
Yes.
And then go ahead and make your combat maneuver bonus roll. So a d20 plus your CMB. And if it beats his CMD, then you will knock him to the ground.
+12=26
Okay, that does beat his CMD. As you run up, and there's a moment where you bring your hands down and almost run on all fours before catching yourself, and like springs being compressed, your legs pull up underneath you and you press off and just jump straight into his face and shoulders. And even as this archer had his bow in one hand, he was looking down between his legs where Randy had just gone, and he had his short sword. He looks up just in time to meet this dragon cat right in his face, and you just knock him backwards and prone. Randy, the archer that was on you giving you cover is suddenly not there anymore, and there's a crash about 6 feet in front of you. Where he comes down on the ground, having been knocked fully to the ground by Barkus. And Barkus, crouched on his chest, just kind of stands back up and off of him.
Would the creature being knocked back give me an attack of opportunity on him?
You know, some, I will say yes.
Yeah!
You go for it.
Parting shot. That's great.
So as... Yeah, we're going for the high-low. Let's do it. As Barkus, you know, tackles this undead archer... I'm pretty sure he's undead. As he... I'm just going to take a sweeping strike at his... hamstrings with my... with my hidden blade. Let's try it
Watch
again.
Watch the tail!
Another natural one! Oh my gosh! No.
Not the tail!
Go ahead and make an attack roll.
Alright. Did you hear I got a natural one?
I did. Go ahead and make an attack roll.
Alright. It's a 22.
Barkus, what is your AC?
24. I'll even say that since his tail isn't armored, it's a... Oh, wait a minute. That's not the right number. It's a... This is a touch armor class, right? This is his tail.
Well, I wouldn't make you do that, but it is... You are at -2 AC because you charged.
Okay, and that's sufficient. We'll say then with the -2, my armor class is 23, just barely.
But all right. All right. So I won't Watch make you tail. Take any damage from it, but there is a burn in the end of your tail, and as you feel this wild swing from Randy. Does in fact catch your tail.
Hey! Easy there.
I was aiming for his legs!
Well.
Alright, Min, it is your turn.
Alright. Min will look at the archer that appears to be the most injured, the one that you guys have been focusing on for a little while. Once again, we'll snap at her hand, grab onto her spinning shard blade, and we'll turn once again full 360 as she launches it at that archer. But as she does, you see little glints of silver moonlight flicker off the pommel. Once, twice, three times, five times, before five spinning daggers appear around her. She launches her shard blade. It gets a 12 to hit, which I assume misses.
Unfortunately, it does miss.
Okay. And as the shard blade lands into the ground next to the arch, you watch as the five spinning daggers begin to hum through the air as they let out five subdued pops as they all launch directly into his body for a total of 18 points of damage.
Even on a miss?
The shard blade was the spiritual weapon. The second one was a magic missile.
Ah, got you. Alright, well, 18 points. And this is the one who had previously been hit.
Yes, the one we were focusing on from before.
Yes, and so with that, as these shards of light just pierce into him, you can see where they punch holes through the armor, and then he kind of crumples a little bit, grabs his trunk, grabs his midsection where they had pierced into him, and you can see light starting to build under his armor as he falls and is just burned from the inside out by this light.
Awesome.
And falls dead again.
And that ends my turn.
Alright, Ruka, it is your turn.
Ruka is looking around and she is trying to focus her senses and see if she can get any more of a gauge on the feeling she got of something coming.
Okay. Go ahead and make a... Well, what kind of check would you like to make?
I'm not even certain what would actually work. Maybe a planes check to see if something's going to pop up or if it may pop up here?
Sure. Go ahead and make a planes check.
21.
Okay, 21. As you focus on the presence, you get the sense that it is not of this world. It is an outsider. It is, however, already here. It is in this world, and it seems to be traveling physically, and it is getting closer. In fact, you can almost hear like the ghostly moan of the wind coming from the west and above you. And at this point, I would say that Min and Philia, you also hear it.
So Ruka will speak into the message. Whatever this is, it's almost here. And she is going to ready a spell and hold it.
That does not sound good.
And she's holding it on the whatever this is becoming visible, getting here, showing up.
All right. Sounds good. That brings us then to them. And one of them's been knocked down. Barkus is on top of it, but he has stood back up. Randy is still on the ground. So the three archers are going to turn towards Barkus, and they take a 5-foot step back and away before they are going to fire at Barkus. No, there's only two left, not three, because one of them is dead. So that would be a 26 and a 22.
26 hits.
All right, and their second shots each. Ooh, that is a natural 1 and a natural 20. So the natural 1, he reaches back and realizes that he is out of arrows. However, there is a natural 20 that will be coming. So first one to deal with, though, you take 5 points of damage, including negative energy damage. Go ahead and give me your fortitude save.
Okay.
Total 16 on the fort save.
Okay. And just barely. Then the last one is a total of, it's the crit, 18 points of damage.
Woo!
I need you to take a fortitude save on that.
22.
Okay, you're good. And then the spears, one of them is going to attempt to stab Randy, who's still on the ground. That is a 22 to hit.
Yep.
That will be 10 points of damage.
Oof.
And the second one is going to try to stab Barkus.
Isn't he prone?
Randy was prone.
Did the one guy get knocked over?
There are two spearmen. The one that got knocked over is an archer. So, for...
Did he just go?
No, that archer did not go. Only two of the archers fired. There are four archers. One is dead, one is knocked over. So two of the archers took a full round action, 5 foot step, and then fired twice each. That was the four arrows that were fired. For Barkus, the one with the spear, thrusts forward at you, intent to try to stab you in the back. Does a 16 hit?
Nope.
All right. As he thrusts forward, you hear his booted foot on the loose rock. And you turn just in time to see the spear, and you dodge sideways as his spear thrusts forward right where your kidneys and lower back would have been. He whips his spear back into a ready position, but that is all of his action. That brings us then to Philia.
Alright, I'm going to target that one that's with the spear trying to stab Randy.
Okay, this is the same one that you shot before, so go for it.
Is it 24 hit?
24 does hit. Roll damage.
Alright. That's the first shot has two arrows, so. Six points of damage.
6 points total?
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead and make your other attack rolls. As those arrows just seem to glance off of him.
Twenty-six to hit.
That's a hit.
That's 14 points of damage, and I forgot that I only did one arrow on the previous one.
Okay, go ahead and roll your other arrow. I thought six seemed really low.
Nine more points of damage for the first one.
Okay, and as you fire, lodging arrow after arrow into him, he turns back towards where these arrows are coming. Even as they seem to be lighting on fire halfway through their flight and slamming into him. And he staggers and falls. And that spearman is dead.
I got one more arrow.
Okay, go ahead. And who would you like to shoot with this arrow?
I would like to shoot...
There's still one spearman and two archers standing.
I haven't shot any of them yet, right?
No, the only one you shot was the spearman who you just killed.
I'm gonna shoot the archer.
Okay.
Alright,
31 hits. Roll damage. Okay, 16 points as you stick the arrow into the archer. And he takes the blow, but it was a solid hit. Barkus, it is your turn.
Okay. He's going to attack the nearest undead creature. Probably the one standing over, I guess. He's going to... rather than try to draw anything, he's going to produce his... draconically magical cat claws and try to slash this thing to ribbons. Three attacks, right? Because he's standing over it.
I think so, yeah. Go for it.
Sweet. And if it's prone, attack melee. Plus what is four. The boost to that?
You basically get a plus four to your attack.
Ugh, marvelous. Then he's just going to go ahead and... Can a natural attack be a power attack?
Yes, it can.
Oh, perfect. So... net total, there's a plus one to whatever else happens, I think, right? There's a plus four, minus three on his power attack.
Yes. So you should still get a net plus one.
That is a natural 20. That's a beautiful thing. Holy cow.
Enjoy it. Embrace it.
One of them is a natural 20.
Alright. Go ahead and roll your damage.
You know, I really should have had all this written down and figured out before I decided to do it. Unarmed attack like that.
It should be your strength mod plus your plus six, I think, from power attack, and then plus whatever your die roll was.
A natural attack is a D6 or a D4?
This is a draconic bloodline power, right?
Correct. I had it open a second ago. There it is.
It should tell you what the damage die is. Looks like it's a D4, although, yeah, because you're 5th level, so it's considered magical for overcoming DR. Yep. At 7th level, it will go up in damage.
Gotcha. Okay, so this first one is just a D4 plus strength mod.
Plus your power attack damage, right?
Yes. Two plus six is eight, plus two is 10. Times two is 20.
Okay, very nice. And this is the one that was prone on the ground?
Yes.
Okay, how would you like to do that?
Hey, his claws glow with a kind of soft, silvery blue light, and as he just kind of lets out a very iconic sort of hunter's roar that echoes through this chamber, he swipes down and knocks the head right off the shoulders with a little slashing motion.
All right, and you still have two other attacks.
That is true. Is there anything else within pouncing distance?
Yeah, one of the other archers is within range of your attack.
Right on. Then two more, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Let's see. And it's a base attack since it's a natural weapon.
Correct.
So 17 plus 8 is 25.
That's a hit.
Nice. Roll again just to see if the last one hit. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is the second one. I got to take away, what, 4?
Correct.
Okay, so 21 on the second attack.
Okay, they both hit.
Okay. Very good. 4 plus 6 is 10 plus 2 is 12. And a 3 gets me 11. So.
Okay.
Total 23.
All right. Awesome. As you turn from decapitating the one to just start to lay into the next one. The undead appear to be starting to reconsider their choice. Randy, it is your turn. The one that you were fighting just got decapitated by Barkus.
Nice. And what about the one? Is there, how many more are there?
There are two archers and a spearman that are left.
And which one is Barkus attacking?
Barkus is attacking one of the archers.
Would I have to get up in order for flanking to be a thing? Or could I crawl over to them and do the same thing I did before?
I think you probably would need to get up in order to flank.
And would that provoke an attack of opportunity?
The one guy with a spear, yes.
You know what? So there's the one guy with a spear and then the two archers, correct? That's
correct.
Okay. I am going to get up and just take that opportunity attack.
Okay. And he sees you starting to get up and goes to stab you. That is a 15.
That does not hit.
Okay, he goes to stab, you roll sideways, and then push yourself up quickly and dodge back.
Nice. Alright, so I'm going for a flanking attack on the archer that Barkus is attacking.
Okay, go ahead and make your attack roll.
Alright, and it's plus one for flanking?
Plus two.
Plus two, alright. That is a 28 to hit.
That is a hit. Roll damage, and you get sneak attack.
Yeah. Let's see. So we got... Okay. Okay, so we got that. 22 points of damage.
Okay, 22 points. as you pull back and then thrust, stabbing deep into the small of his back. He winces from the blow, but he's still standing.
Mm.
All right. At this point, Min, Ruka, Felia, and Solas, who is also with you, I've neglected to mention before, that sound of the whistling of wind grows stronger and stronger, and Barkus, Randy, you can hear it. Even the undead that you're fighting can hear it. There's a moment when they stop fighting you, and they look up and towards that direction before turning to start to run. And as they turn to break away, even as you go to swing, there is an impact between Barkus and Randy and the rest of the party. There's an impact in the ground, and there is a burst of energy, of force, almost like the wind that rushes out from a sudden impact that washes over you. And as it does, the three remaining undead are going to take positive energy damage.
Ooh.
All right, two of them are blasted to the ground with the energy. One of the bowmen, he gets knocked down but begins to pull himself back up. Barkus, you're right there, and if you want, I'll just give it to you. You're able to just kind of grab him by the head and snap his neck.
Woo!
But as this happens, you see between you a shadowy figure of a warrior maiden. Dark hair, pale skin, armor that is not like anything that you've seen in this world, except for one of you. Min, you've seen some of these before, on the boats to Finlock. She seems to look over each of you with a scrutinizing, deep gaze from her pale gray eyes before becoming ethereal and seeming to vanish on the wind. With just a voice of warning in the air. Voice of warning that simply says, beware the dead heart. Beware the dark maiden and what she keeps. And you're left. Incidentally, your fog was dispelled. You're left in the quiet.
Oh, I was not the only one who saw that, correct?
I'm no.
Mass hallucination, maybe? I lost a lot of blood.
Ben would immediately like to make a religion check to see if this is one of the deities she follows.
All right, you can go ahead and do that.
Total of 16.
She did not appear to be Bashani. However, you do recognize, I will give this to you because of your death experience, you recognize especially when she turned, and that look in her eye is something you saw before when you were in the boat and you looked, and those ethereal maidens in armor that seemed to be guiding, shepherding the boat that you were in. they had the same kind of eyes before they too would turn ethereal, almost as quickly as they became physical enough to see them, they would vanish back into an ethereal nature. And that's exactly what this one just did. And her words ring out in your mind. Beware the dead heart. Beware the dark maiden and what she chooses to keep. And that is where we are going to end it tonight.
Cool. Do you mind if we loot the bodies?
Yes, you can choose to loot the bodies. That's fine.